So, how about in the beginning of the English message, and so let us turn to the passage once again and read it together. It's not long, in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 10 to 17. And so, let us to familiar about this text. Okay, so let me read it in the NRSV edition, and so if you use other editions, just follow through, okay? When you go out to war against your enemies, and the Lord your God hands them over to you, and you take them captive, suppose you see among the captives a beautiful woman whom you desire and want to marry, and so you bring her home to your house. She shall shave her head, pare her nails, discard her captive's grip, and shall remain in your house a full month, mourning for her father and mother. After that, you may go in to her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. But if you are not satisfied with her, you shall let her go free and not sell her for money. You must not treat her as a slave, since you have dishonored her. Verse 15. If a man has two wives, one of them loved and the other disliked, and if both the loved and the disliked have borne him sons, the firstborn being the son of the one who is disliked, then what on the day when he wills his possessions to his sons, he is not permitted to treat the son of the loved as the firstborn in preference to the son of the disliked, who is the firstborn. He must acknowledge as firstborn the son of the one who is disliked, giving him a double portion of all that he has, since he is the first issue of his plurality. The right of the firstborn is his. You know, this passage is very interesting because I can say that these two passages basically is unique in our Bible, and only this place talking about a captive and also about the right of a firstborn. So it's two very unique accounts about two incidents. But when you read it more closely, and these two scenarios are very unique to tell us one thing, which way that we should go. Is that in our own interest or in the God's interest? We always face some struggles. Always. No one will be accepted. When we, even though as Christians, when we face some situation, we will think that whether our preferences should go first or our Lord's teaching should go first. So in these two passages, talking about two hypothetical situations, but they have a very similar kind of sufferers. If you go back to this text, the first text is talking about female captives. In the Bible, nowhere talk mentioned about it. But in the war time, Israelites, they win the war, and then they can captive whatever they like under God's commandment or God's allowance. So they find a beautiful girl in the field, war field, and then they want to take this woman. Okay? But God has a certain requirement when you want to have a woman as your wife instead of just take a very casual relationship. So have a process. You can read it from the text. The lady required to shave her hair, pare her nails, and then have mourning for a full month for her father and mother. Everything should be go in a proper way. And if you want this woman to be your wife, you can. But when you change your heart, later on you don't happy about it. You don't be satisfied with her. So you can't discard her or just dump her somewhere else. The same situation in the second scenario. You know what? About two wives. It's ridiculous in God's teaching. You know what? God didn't allow most of the people, they have two wives. Most of them don't allow any people have two wives. But this man, as an Israelite, that he has two wives. So one is he loved, another one is he didn't like. I don't know why, but anyway, in this situation, it's got make an assumption like this. And turns out two sons are born, but the first son is born by the disliked wife. And this man later on used his authority, want to give double portion, the right of the firstborn to the son of the beloved, the son of the loved wife. And God said, no, it's not allowed to do it that way. If this son is not the firstborn, no way that you can treat him as the firstborn. You need to go back to the disliked one and then allows him to have double portion. So two hypothetical situation, but the similar sufferer is caused by one reason, by a man. He has a crooked idea in his mind. Do you know that all the Israelites, they don't understand God's word? Of course not. All those adults, Israelites, since they are in their childhood, they already need to know the Pentateuch. So they should understand the teaching. But why here in the Pentateuch remind us such kind of things? I think the most important idea here I want to address is about a sense of superiority. When someone has authority and he may fall into a trap of a sense of superiority. In political sense, we call this hegemony. It means that someone using his power to dominate other people, that they are weaker. I don't want to say any world power now, but this is very common, no matter in a nation-to-nation level or to the people-to-people level. When you have authority, someone will have an intention that he can use his power to manipulate other people according to his own will. That God didn't want such kind of situation happens. So that's why here, when talking about the female captive, she is a prisoner on war, okay? And she need to be well treated. Someone that he has authority, especially the Israelites, they claim that they have the Almighty God with them. Even though you can win the war, but you can do whatever you like. You need to be well disciplined. God has his own plan and teaching on every issue. On marriage is in this situation. So that's why the Deuteronomist, the writer of Deuteronomy, he tried to restate this teaching in his text. You need to do properly instead of if you want to cap like a female captive and then you want to have sex, to have happy time with her, and then you take her when you don't like it and you dump her somewhere else. No, you can't do it. This is a marriage. It's not just based on whatever you like. In the same situation, in the second scenario, the same problem about the firstborn. If he is the firstborn, even though he is coming from your disliked wife, he's still the firstborn. You need to honor it because God has his own plan and arrangement for all those firstborn. Everyone need to honor it. So you can see in this passage, God has his own arrangement, has his own standards. We have our own preferences. When we see the situation, are we going to, which way that we should go? Especially when you has power. When you have power, what are you going to do? Is that you can use your power and say, hey God, I don't like to follow your plan, and then just let me do my own way. God said, no way. You need to go my way. But this passage, what is the purpose? I think the key idea about these two passages is reminding all the Christians, including especially that time the Israelites, you need to know your evilness. If you can't recognize your evilness, you have no way to return from evilness, get back to the righteous God. And in the beginning, just like in chapter 21, verse 5, we have already learned the words. When we obey God's instruction, we will have blessing. The blessing from God. When we receive the blessing, if we want to receive the blessing from God, we need to conform to His standard, His way, His arrangement. So that's why here, this text also acts as a reminder to highlight the evilness, the possible evilness of the Israelites. When you have power, when you have the Almighty God with you, don't abuse this situation. And this part also applies to all Christians, brothers and sisters. We always claim that we have a God. He has all the power. He has the dominancy on all gods, or whatever we call small g gods. We have the God is almighty. He has the power to do whatever that he can or he wants. But we can say that because we have a God like this and privatize God, become one of our way to fulfill our wish. This is a key problem of most Christians now. Our God is almighty for sure, but he is the final judge. Even though we believe in him, it doesn't mean that we own him. We are not owning God now. We just believe in him. So we can claim that we have God. So God, please fulfill our wish. This text functions in that way. So none of us have never struggled between God's command and our own preferences. Even in some previous case, maybe we reject the God's teaching. But God still has a heart. Through this text, remind us we need to repent. First of all, recognize what kind of evilness in us, and he allow us to change. Last of all, in this text, I want to highlight one thing before I finish this part of the message. When you read these two passages, you never see a word of judgment from God. Why? Because God allows us have chances to repent. We are not finished if we do something wrong now, or you have done something wrong in the past, and God say, that's it, you are for sure no salvation at all. No. Even though here you can see someone commit what? Maybe adultery. Here at in verse 14, the last verse is said, you have dishonored her. This is wrong, right? Obviously wrong. But God didn't make the final judgment. The same problem is at the last verse, God still wants the people to realize, to honor who is the firstborn. Do it right. In the future, maybe in the past you have a wrong intention, or even though you have done wrong, but you still have a chance. Repent, change. So before we wrap up this passage, and let us have a prayer, and to pray God, that God let us in this time to repent our sins, because if we can repent our sins, we know this is the beginning of the to receive the Lord's blessing. So let's have a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you through this passage to remind us that we still have chances, have opportunities to repent, to change something that we have done wrong. You didn't make the final judgment in this time. So we have a grateful heart once again to offer in front of you. And please help us through the Holy Spirit, remind us that we are not perfect. We need to follow through your teaching. We need to honor your authority so that in our future, our life, in our spiritual journey, still can get back to the right track. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.